good worship this morning. Take your Bibles and turn back to the Gospel of John, chapter 20. The Gospel of John, chapter 20. I want to zero in on one particular verse that we read a moment ago as we read about that resurrection morning. In the Gospel of John, chapter 20, I want us to zone in on verse 9. And it says this. It talks about the fact, you know, Jesus had taught his disciples for 3 years. They had been with him. They had seen his miracles. They saw his teachings, or they saw the miracles. They heard the teachings, and for 3 years, you know, and he had, as he, you know, went toward Jerusalem, and as he began to tell them more and more about his crucifixion and the fact that he would rise again in 3 days, he had told them all of these things. And here we are now, after the crucifixion, in John chapter 20, verse 9, that Easter Sunday morning, that first Easter Sunday morning, and here's what it says. It says, "For as yet they did not understand the Scripture, that he must rise again from the dead." Let's pray. Father, I thank you again for your word. I thank you so much for this Resurrection Sunday, and Father, that we can celebrate it together as a church family. Father, I just pray that you'd just give us understanding today. Help us to understand why Jesus must have risen again. In Jesus' name, Father, I pray. Amen. We, right before this worship service, we had the church's Sunday school Bible study program. And it is a real privilege to teach in Sunday school. And we have a good teaching staff in our Sunday school here at Central Baptist Church, and I appreciate all of the hard work that they do. And sometimes, or most of the time, Sunday school teaching is very rewarding. But every now and then, you kind of wonder, you know, are they really paying attention? And there's a story told of a Sunday school teacher of a children's Sunday school class that one Sunday she decided she was just going to quiz her students about what they knew as they were leading up to the Easter time. And so she asked her students, "What is the meaning of Easter?" And the first student suggested this. He said, "Easter is when all the family comes over and we eat a big turkey and then we watch football the rest of the day." Well, you know, the teacher was a little bit disappointed in that, and she just very kindly suggested that maybe he was thinking about Thanksgiving. You know, well, the second student gave it a shot, and the second student said, "Well, Easter is a day when you come down the stairs in the morning and you see all the beautiful presents under the tree." You know, well, the teacher is still a little bit saddened. You know, she suggested that probably he was remembering Christmas. Well, the third student piped up, and the teacher, much to the teacher's delight, the third student said this. She said, "Easter is when Jesus was crucified and buried." And the teacher, she knew that she just had a protege of a student here. And then the teacher went a step too far when she asked, "Well, then what happened?" And the student said, "And then he comes out of the grave. And if he sees a shadow, we have 6 more weeks of winter." Now, it's okay to laugh at ourselves sometimes, but there is really truth in the idea that our society is becoming less and less biblically literate. There is truth in the idea today that too many people draw conclusions about God from incomplete information. There's a true story about the aftermath of Wellington's defeat of Napoleon at Waterloo. It was a very pivotal battle for the British Empire, and it was an epic battle that had tens of thousands of casualties as the battle wore on. And as the story goes, Wellington communicated with England by a series of outpost stations through which the code messages would be sent from outpost to outpost by sight. They'd have one person standing here and another person way over in the way somewhere, and they would somehow communicate the message. And upon the defeat of Napoleon, Wellington dispatched this message. He said, "Wellington defeated Napoleon at Waterloo." And the message was to be relayed from station to station all the way back to England. Well, somewhere in between there, some fog rolled in. And by the time the message got back to England, the message simply stated, "Wellington defeated." And you can imagine the anguish and the sorrow of the entire British Empire when they got that message. But now you might also imagine the joy of the empire when they finally got the complete message. Folks, it is true that too many people today draw inaccurate conclusions about God because they only know part of the message. The resurrection of Jesus Christ completes God's love toward us. The resurrection of Jesus is essential to the truth of Christianity. Jesus ministered on earth for about 3 years. We know that. Very few people dispute that. Even those who don't want to believe in the Bible, very few people dispute that fact. He fulfilled prophecy and he taught God's laws. He came to fulfill the laws and the prophecies. And his death would have avoided all that he had done and promised had he not risen again. He had to rise again. Now this morning I hope to encourage you to believe in the actual and factual resurrection of Jesus Christ. Without it, anything else that you might believe about God is in vain. Today, we've read out of one of four biblical accounts here of what happened on that first Easter Sunday morning. Now, each of our four Gospels, each of those four accounts has some of their own detail, but all of them agree on the basic events of what happened that morning. You know, early in the morning, we know, after the Jewish Sabbath, it was Sunday morning. Now, you know, every year around Easter time, different magazines and television programs and things, they'll have these mysteries about Easter, and they'll be trying to cast doubt here and there and all of this, and try to get you to doubt a little bit some of the story so that ultimately you can find yourself doubting the whole story. But, you know, this year, I think one of the big things is there's a story out there about the fact that Easter probably, you know, or Last Supper, the night of Last Supper, probably wasn't Thursday night, and the cross probably didn't happen on Friday, the crucifixion probably didn't happen on Friday, and that the resurrection didn't happen on Sunday, and there's a lot of disagreement about this that they say and all that. Folks, there's not disagreement. The Bible tells us when it happened and how it happened. And the Bible tells us that the events of the Lord's Supper night happened on that Thursday night. You can easily chronicle that in the Bible. That the cross happened on Friday, and that the resurrection happened on the morning after the Sabbath. We know those things to be absolutely true and certain. And all of these things, you'll always find some of these mysteries out there around Easter time. But we don't have to listen to those things because we know what the Bible says. We know for certain that the women came to the tomb on the morning after the Jewish Sabbath, which is Sunday morning. And the women went to the tomb to complete the burial process of the body of Jesus. And when they got there, they found that there had been a large stone that had been in front of the tomb that was already rolled away by the time that they got there. And they found the tomb empty, except for the fact that they encountered some angels that pronounced Jesus' resurrection. You see, it is the most amazing story ever told about any religious leader. And it is the ultimate story of which his entire religion is founded. Folks, Jesus staked his entire reputation and indeed the very foundation of Christianity on the truth of the resurrection. If it did not happen, then everything else that Jesus said and did is certainly open to question. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is either the cornerstone of Christianity or it is its fatal flaw. If it never happened, then Christianity simply collapses into mythology, and billions of people throughout the centuries have been deceived. But if it did happen, if the resurrection did happen, then it authenticates everything else that Jesus ever did and said. And believers have the absolute guarantee of eternal life and forgiveness of sin. The Apostle Paul told us in 1 Corinthians 15:17, he said, "And if Christ has not been raised, then your faith is worthless and you are still in your sins." Folks, the resurrection is either one of the most wicked, heartless, vicious hoaxes ever perpetrated, or it is the most fantastic fact ever in history. You know, we read in the Gospels that there were that how that some that came to the tomb that day were afraid. And we read how some were confused and others had trouble believing. No, there can be little doubt as to the fact that the very ones that walked with Jesus and talked with him and ate with him and fellowshiped with him, they didn't immediately understand what it all meant. In fact, in this focus verse that I want us to focus on this morning, it even says that in John chapter 20, verse 9. It clearly tells us that they did not yet understand the scripture that he must rise again. And that's the verse that I want us to key in on this morning. Keep in the back of our minds as the rest of this message progresses. It contains a very significant word. They did not know that he must rise again. He must come back from the dead. He must come out of the tomb. One key element that is essential to the Christian faith is that he must. It is something that he had to do. You know, down through the ages, following the resurrection, man has made a lot of feeble attempts to explain it away. You know, we've come up with plans and theories to discredit the historicity of the event. And no matter what theory man has concocted, though, they all fall short of the truth because of the overwhelming evidence to it. The evidence of the resurrection crushes every lie that has ever been constructed by man to try to explain it away. And the evidence points to the one unchangeable fact that we are here to celebrate this morning. He has risen. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is alive. And how do we know that? We know it because he must. He must rise from the grave. He must come back to life. He must. The Bible is very clear about that fact. Now, I want to look at it this morning from really a negative perspective. You know, what if he didn't? What if Christ did not rise from the dead? Well, I'd like for you to notice with me this morning four implications that Paul gave us if Christ did not rise. If you have your Bibles, I encourage you simply to turn to a passage of Scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we read a while ago a responsive reading from the latter part of that chapter. But I want to kind of look at the first part of that chapter here and see what the Apostle Paul, some of the apologetic that he gave the early church as to why Jesus Christ's resurrection must be true and must be believed. Now, first off, if Jesus Christ did not rise again, then God's word would be worth nothing. Again, look at 1 Corinthians 15, and I want us to zone in on some of the biblical logic for the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The first statement they want to find is in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 14. It says this, it says, "And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching in vain." Folks, without Christ being raised from the dead, the church's message is wrong and irrelevant. Now, looking back at verse 1 of that scripture, just look back at verse 1 in chapter 15. I want to read a few verses there. It says this. It says, "Now I make known to you, brethren, the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, in which you also stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast the word that I preached to you, unless you believed in vain." It says, "For I delivered to you as of first importance that I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures." Folks, the Scriptures, the very Word of God, which we proclaim before men, encompasses the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Without the resurrection, the message of the Bible, the message of God, becomes of no effect. Were Jesus not to have risen again, then all of God's Word, all of the Bible, must be considered unreliable. That's the consequence of the resurrection not having happened. Because you have parts of the resurrection that are foretold and predicted in Scripture, in the Old Testament Scripture, hundreds of years before it ever actually happened. And then you have the parts of the Bible after the resurrection in the New Testament that keep coming back to the resurrection. So without the resurrection, the Bible itself is unreliable. But folks, thanks be to God, the very promise that is given to us, that even though heaven and earth will someday pass away, God's Word will never pass away. We know that to be true. And folks, because God cannot lie, then Jesus Christ must rise again. Second, if Jesus did not rise again, not only would God's Word be worthless, but your faith also would be worthless. Look at verse 14 there. It says, "And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching in vain, and your faith is also in vain." It's a natural progression that if what you believe to be true is worthless, then the very faith that you have placed in that is also worthless. All through Scripture, time and time again, you can find where someone put their faith in God and in His Word. You find in the Bible it says that Abraham believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness. Abraham believed God. You find in the Bible Joshua believed God, Moses believed God, Samuel believed God, David believed God, Nathan believed God, King Josiah believed God. You find example after example, case after case, where men and women throughout Scripture believed God. And what would it be if that faith demonstrated by so many people were in vain? What kind of influence could an empty faith really have on a lost and dying world? Could you truly take a worthless faith and use it to bring somebody else into the same worthless faith in which you believe? Both faith would not have any real influence or any real impact on others if it is worthless. But we know this. Faith does have impact on people's lives. Faith does change people's lives. Faith in Christ has made a difference in billions of lives throughout history, and that in itself is proof positive that our faith is not in vain. For you see, an empty faith can't do anything for you. But an empty faith can do an awfully lot of things against you. It can cause you to doubt. It can open doors in your life to doubt. It opens doors to fear and confusion. Again, articles that you see around Easter in the secular media, they want to get a little bit of doubt in your mind, because once you get that wedge in there, then they try to drive the wedge in and drive the wedge in. And year after year, you see these articles that are just untrue and unfaithful. And you begin to wonder, is my faith really accurate? And you let that, you open those doors of doubt. And they come in. Folks, empty faith would leave you with a life that has no meaning. But Jesus' purpose for coming was to give meaning to your life. When He came into this world, He came for the purpose of laying down His life for sinful people just like you and me. For from the creation of time, God's eyes were on the old rugged cross. He knew that it would happen. He knew that it had to happen. And not only on the cross, but He would also look beyond the cross. He would see the tomb, and He would look beyond the tomb. For you see, Christ realized that any faith that could be pleasing to God would be worthless without the resurrection, without proof positive that there is a way to overcome the sin that causes the sacrifice that was necessary before that Easter Sunday. He realized that His very purpose would be nothing without the final victory over death. The sacrifice on the cross of Calvary would be worthless. The faith placed in Him by sinful men would mean nothing without the victory. Jesus must rise again. Not only would your faith be in vain, and not only would God's Word be worthless, but you would still be in your sin. Now, notice verse 17. We read it a little while ago, but it says, "And if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain, and you are yet in your sins." Folks, the very redemption of mankind hinges on the events of Easter. It's the gospel message. It's what the Bible says that we must believe. In Romans chapter 10, it says this. It says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Without the resurrection, there is no salvation from sin. It is the fact in which you must believe to effect the salvation in your life. You see, Jesus' purpose was to save humanity from the penalties and the eternal consequences of sin. And it was part of that plan that he would rise again. We often focus on the death of the that happened on the cross, but we need to be focusing on the resurrection that happened from the tomb. There is no other name. It is because of that resurrection that the authority has been given to Christ to claim that there is no other name given under heaven among men whereby you must be saved. Folks, the resurrection put salvation's seal on humanity. It was necessary for him to rise again. He must rise again. And finally, not only would you be dead in your sins without the resurrection, not only would the Word of God be worthless and your faith be empty if Christ didn't rise again, but you would also have no hope of eternity. Look at verses 18 and 19 in 1 Corinthians 15. It says this, it says, "And then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If we have hoped in Christ in this life only, then we are of all men to be most pitied." I think one of the greatest fears that have plagued mankind throughout history is that of facing death. I really don't know whether it's just the physical dying that people are most afraid of, or whether it's the mystery that lies on the other side. But the Bible does teach us enough about death that it really need not be too mysterious. We know from Scripture that there is a judgment that happens that's waiting on the other side of death. There is an eternity to face, and without the resurrection, that eternity could only be one without God. It would be lived out in a literal place called hell. It is the deserved destiny of all of us were it not for the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The love that God has shown for this lost and dying world would mean absolutely nothing if it were not for the resurrection. Eternal life in heaven would only be a fleeting thought. It would just be wishful thinking out there. But because God's love is perfect, he extended hope beyond this present life. One of the most quoted and recognized verses of the Bible is John 3:16. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." It is because God's love for man is perfect that Jesus had to rise from the grave. Without the resurrection, we would have no hope, and that is why he must rise again. Verse 20 here says it all. It says very simply and very factually, "But now is Christ risen from the dead." It's just as simple as that. The only thing left is for you to believe it and to let it make a difference in your life. Do you believe in the actual and factual resurrection of Jesus Christ? And if so, what difference is it making in your life? You know, I'm very glad that you've chosen to worship with us this morning, that you've chosen on this Easter Sunday to recognize God, and that you've chosen this day, on this special important day, to come into God's house. And I hope that you're not a stranger to it in the future. I hope that you can connect with Central Baptist Church if you don't have some other church home. You know, if you're visiting with us today, or maybe if you've just been in the process maybe of connecting with us recently, I hope that today you might decide to take another step in your faith, and you might go to a different level of your faith, whatever that needs to be. In just a little bit, we're going to stand and sing an invitation hymn. And what we do as we sing that hymn is that we open up the altar here and we invite anybody that wants to come, that feels they have a need in their life, that the Holy Spirit may be working in your heart in these moments, that we invite you to come, and you can come and pray at this altar. You don't have to say another thing to anybody but God if you don't want to. And you can just come and just pray whatever you need to pray. You can come and there'll be a deacon up here. Pastor Chris will be up here. I'll be up here. You can come talk to one of us if you want to talk to us about your relationship with Christ in some way. You can come talk to us if you feel the need for expressing your belief in God and receiving salvation in your life. You can come talk to us if you just want somebody to pray with you about something, whatever it might be. We're here for you. Folks, if you have never allowed yourself to believe in Jesus Christ before this morning, I would love to talk to you about how to do that today. And I would love to talk to you about connecting with this church in the future. You know, I can't think of a better day than Easter Sunday to mark a new beginning in your life with God. You know, Jesus Christ rose from the grave on that first Easter Sunday so that you could have a fresh start in life. You know, and I hope that you will let that happen today. It was on Easter Sunday in 1974 that I walked in front of a church similar to this. And I was sitting in a pew over like that over here. And I came and I just put my hand in the preacher's and said, I received Jesus Christ this week and I know that I need to be baptized. And that's one of the reasons that Easter Sunday is just that much more special to me. Was it because it was on that Sunday that I made that public profession of my faith? I was 10 years old at that time. And I know that at that moment in time, God did a special work in my life. And I would encourage you, maybe Easter Sunday needs to be just that much more of a special time in your life, whatever it may be. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this worship time that we've had today. And Father, I just pray for each person in here. And I just pray that each one, Father, would have belief, Lord, in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's what today is all about. And Father, I just pray that we would allow your Holy Spirit to speak to us. Father, I just pray that we'd be honest with you today. Whatever you might be putting in the hearts of each person here, some need salvation. Father, some need to come and express that need of salvation. Father, let this church family be a family to them, be a support group for them. Father, be encouraging to them. Father, we've all been there. And Father, we all have this need and have had this need in our lives. And Father, I just pray that each person here would just be honest about it today. Father, may we use this invitation time as a time, Father, when we are just truly transparent and honest to the working of your Spirit in our hearts and minds. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. And that's what this time is about. It's a time for you to spend with God, whatever it may be. As we stand and sing, I encourage you to come and be at this altar. Let's sing.
On which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss, and pour contempt on all my
of Jesus Christ. When we think about the cross and what it means, we think about the death of our Savior. But today is not about the death of our Savior. Today is about the life of our Savior. It's about the life that God gives to us because of His sacrifice on that cross and because of His resurrection. Jesus Christ gives new life. You know, sometimes we just get mired down in this life and we just don't know where to turn, what to do, how to get out of the mess maybe that we've made for ourselves or whatever it is. But folks, I will guarantee you that if you shore up your relationship with God, that you can begin seeing a path. You know, things aren't going to change overnight in your life. There are things in our lives that we need to just give God time to work on. And we need to give Him parts of our life just each day as we go. And that's kind of the way it works. But I can guarantee you that in Jesus Christ, are answers that you're looking for. If you have never given your life over to Him, there are answers there that you don't even know are there at the moment that He can reveal to you. If that is something that you need today, I encourage you to come and just let that happen in your life. Let that connection be made to Christ. Again, if you're new to this church, new to this community or whatever, and you may be looking for a church, this is a great time to just start your time in this church with this church family. We'd love to have you. We'd love to be able to work with you and minister side to side with you. But whatever it might be in your life this morning, we encourage you to just shore up that relationship and that place that you need with Jesus Christ, whatever it might be. I want to see another verse or so and give you that opportunity to come still.
Seek from His head, His hands, His feet, sorrow and love flow mingled down. Did there such love and sorrow?
Seat for just a moment. I want to continue our worship time with our receipt of our tithes and offerings. If our ushers would come forward as we prepare to do that. I encourage you to remember the Annie Armstrong Easter offering. We're pretty well below our goal right now, but we encourage you to be generous in your giving towards that. The Annie Armstrong Easter offering goes to support missions and ministries all through North America. And as we see the different types of ministries and things, when I pastored in Wyoming a number of years ago, I was supported in part by the North American Mission Board, and I know how these offerings make a major difference in the ministries in small outlying areas like that and where we were in ministry. It's a great way to support missions outside of our community. So I certainly do encourage you to be supportive of that. Lance, would you pray for us, please?
Hear the sound of a mighty rushing wind, and it's closer now than it's ever been. I can almost hear the trumpet. As Gabriel sounds the call, at the midnight cry, we'll be going home. When Jesus steps out on a cloud to call His children, shall arise to meet Him in the air. And then those that remain will be quickly changed at the midnight cry. Comes again. look around me, I see prophecies fulfilling and signs of the times. They're appearing everywhere. I can almost hear the Father, and He says, "Son, go get your children." And at the midnight cry, the bride of Christ will rise. When Jesus steps out on a cloud to call His children, Christ shall rise to meet Him in the air. And then those that remain will be quickly changed at the midnight cry. When Jesus comes again, and then those that remain will be quickly changed at the midnight cry. When Jesus comes again. The midnight cry, when Jesus comes again, when Jesus comes again.
Well, it's been good to be in God's house. Amen.